Welcome, everyone, and this is Stan Hess, and this is my first program on the Countercurrents Radio Network. My program is called the Your Hour, E-U-R-H-O-U-R. Your as in European peoples worldwide, as in world Uri, the term that I have coined, E-U-R-Y, mean the people referred to as Goy, Gringo, Honky, White Boy, and Shiksa. That's who we are, at least that's how we are disparagingly referred to as. And there's a number of things I want to talk about. I go through the internet, as like most of you all do, to get information. And as we say, take what you like and leave the rest. Well, I subscribe to the Nationalist Times. And the latest edition, on the August 2012 edition, is a article by Adrian H. Krieg, and it's referred to, and it's the title is PC Run Amok in Connecticut and Elsewhere. That's how I'm going to lead off with tonight's program. Here we go. This is Dr. Adrian H. Krieg, and for those of you who are interested in the Nationalist Times, you can find out about the Nationalist Times by going to www.anu.org. Again, this is the August 2012 edition. In August, my wife and I took a trip to Connecticut to visit family. Both of our married sons live in the Nutmeg State. Our last weekend there, we decided to go to Bull Park in Kent, with which I was familiar. Some 35 years ago, I had been part of a group of friends that went to Bull Park for a white water rafting trip in inner tubes. We had a great time, and there was a private company that provided the inner tubes along with a return bus trip upstream to our point of origin. We set off Saturday morning in a car and truck full of mountain bikes. We were surprised that on Saturday morning at 10 a.m., all the parking lots were sealed off, and the streets were full of cars, all with New York plates. We found parking outside the park, unloaded the bikes, and headed into the park. What a mess. Piles of garbage were everywhere. Everyone we saw spoke Spanish. Not only was the park now Hispanic, but many were drinking beer and hard liquor and had fires and were cooking, all against park policy. Down by the river, a huge party with at least 60 Hispanic families was in progress, with loud music and much bad behavior. We were clearly not invited or wanted. I think most were illegals. Shortly afterward, we met an armed officer from the EPA who was obviously frustrated. We asked, "Why are you not enforcing the law about drinking, fires, and illegals?" "I tried that and even tried to arrest some of them last month," the EPA official answered. "They filed a complaint for racial harassment, and I was reprimanded. The park was no longer safe for our grandchildren." Let me just say I ended quote with reprimanded. "The park was no longer safe for our grandchildren." This is Krieg speaking. "So we decided to head into the town of Kent for lunch." Kent is one of those quaint New England small towns through which I used to ride my motorcycle. It was architecturally the same as before, but the people were different. The older generation was passive, and when engaged, seemed almost frightened. There were large numbers of homosexuals of both generations, of both genders, and the town seemed to be on the way down. Younger people were obviously not natives, but day visitors from Connecticut and New York. An older lady told me the place was much nicer on weekdays when the outsiders were gone. At the public library, they were having a book sale. Not much of interest, I'm afraid, But the two people selling, both in their 80s, when confronted about Bull Park, said, quote, "Things have been like that for years. The park was gifted by the power company, but clear ownership has never been established. The town only owns the road. The land is in trust to the state. It's a jurisdictional problem. We tried closing the parking lots and placing no parking signs, but they don't care," end quote. We spoke to a retired police officer who was manning a booth for Republican Chris Shays for Congress. And then this is in parentheses, the very same ultra-liberal Shays who reversed his position on the Second Amendment, Obamacare, welfare, and every other issue of importance, who told us, quote, "Our hands are tied," end quote, end quote. I said, "It's my understanding that the town owns the road as well as the only access, the wooden covered bridge. Am I correct in that?" "Yes," he said. "Well then," I said, "why don't you require state residency to cross the bridge and have non-residents pay a $50 toll to cross it? I'll present that to the first selectman tomorrow," the man, the retired police officer said. The America, this is again from Dr. Krieg, "the America I knew as a young man is gone, replaced by the new paradigms. Me first, illegals have more rights. Pornography is better. Cultural Marxism is the new norm of our society. Apparently, whites need to just shut up and go away. Vote Republican for more of the same. While I'm at it, have you noticed that the Romney team seems to be functioning exactly as the McCain team of 2008? Is this the plan to lose the election?" Well, it would appear to be the case. "I came to America as a teenager. I spoke no English. It was the greatest nation in the world, and everybody wanted to come here. Teddy Kennedy wanted to improve that by eliminating European immigration and substituting non-white immigration. Now, only third world derelicts have an interest in coming to America. They don't come to work. They don't come to cash in. They come to cash in on the liberal welfare state. They don't want to learn English. Hell, we provide translators. They see the advantage of being illegal. The police don't even bother to arrest them because the feds will not enforce national laws. Under Obama, you are not deported. Illegals get benefits, welfare, free housing, education for their kids, and you know they will get amnesty and, like in Massachusetts, be sent a voter application with their welfare payment. We are the third world, or we will be if this liar is reelected. There are more unemployed than during the Great Depression, more on welfare than ever before. 47 million are on food stamps. There are 24 million illegal immigrants and over 50,000 illegal immigrant felons that the TSA, FBI, CIA, and Homeland Security are unable to locate. The U.S. national debt now exceeds its gross national product at $16 trillion plus. Realistically, counted unemployment is 24%, 54% for blacks under 30, who regardless will vote for the man responsible for it by a margin of over 90%. Single stupid females whose unemployment levels and government dependency are soaring will vote for the man responsible for the large increase in female unemployment, the bimbo factor. Obama has divided the U.S. into groups. Those for him are such as the gays, the pornographers, the illegals, bimbos, Fabians, blacks, Hispanics, Jewish people, socialists, and communists. Meanwhile, Romney is running a failed campaign that is out of its depth. run by some of the same fools who lost the McCain campaign of 2008. Romney seems unable to even defend himself against outright lies by Obama, his surrogates, and Reid and Pelosi. Wake up, America. The only game in town is the American Third Position Party. Merlin Miller is a true patriot, a word that cannot be ascribed to Obama and Romney. That's the end of the article, folks. I think it's a very well written article, and I am going to vote for Merlin Miller for president and Virginia Abernathy for vice president. I know them both. I know that they are upright, outstanding European-American people who know about the Zionist control of every phase of our society and who speak in a productive, quality tone that people can understand and hear. And I am going to write them in November, regardless of the outcome of the election. I am not going to vote for Romney or Obama. And no, I didn't misspeak. I refer to, I look at Romney and Obama as being the same. Except, to be very honest, I think that Romney could be worse in foreign affairs because he's so adept at kissing that wall and over in Israel and doing the bidding of the war party faction of the Israeli government. So yes, I am very fearful of Romney in his foreign policy. I think that Obama is going to be much worse in terms of domestic policy, but looking at both of them together, I cannot vote for these two clowns. I cannot vote for two Zionist puppets. Okay. Let me give you a personal anecdote. I lived most of my life in the San Francisco Bay Area, and most of that time in Marin County, which used to be a wonderful place to live. There's still pockets in Marin County, which are very nice. The place where I lived most of the time was in Novato, California. I also lived in Sausalito and Larkspur and San Rafael. But what has happened to Marin County is a direct result of out-of-control immigration. I was talking to a friend of mine who still lives there, and she reminded me of a story that I had forgotten. Maybe she had told me, but she had done some research on the Ford Foundation and found that two Jewish women had collected around $2 million of Ford Foundation money in terms of a grant, and that at a park in the canal area, which is in East San Rafael, called Pickleweed Park, that these two Jewish women and their operatives were handing out $800 to people from Central America and from Mexico who said that, yes, we have come here illegally and we want our money, because they had been promised that down in Central America and Mexico. I was in the 90s, I was at the Cow Palace in San Francisco and was getting people to sign this Proposition 187 initiative. And this initiative was to deny welfare benefits to illegal aliens. Well, this guy came up to me and said that my mother and I speak fluent Spanish, and we were down in southern Mexico, and we saw this flyer that said, come to San Rafael and have your baby. So this is the kind of stuff that we're up against. I will continue the second part of this in just a few minutes, folks. This is your hour. This is for the interest. I am doing this program in the interest of European peoples. everywhere in the world. Okay, this is the second portion of my hour here on the Countercurrents Radio Network. I'm very privileged to be on this network. This network will be the preeminent, will be the bar that everybody will aspire to, who are proud to be European peoples, who have self-respect. I am proud to be amongst the people that either publish or to have podcasts on this program. So let me go back to the case study of Marin County, which is very similar to what Dr. Adrian Krieg talks about in his article about PC run amok in Connecticut, and talking about the Hispanic illegals that go up into this predominantly European area of Connecticut and have taken it over. In the 90s, those of us that stood up against the illegals, I was one. I'm just a working class guy. I retired as a bus driver. And one day I used to, or a couple of days, I would go out on my break and actually protest against the illegal alien workers that were standing out on the street and at a local strip shopping center near where my bus yard was. And so I've done it all. I collected almost 5,000 signatures to get 187 on the ballot, which was overturned by a Filipino woman that was married to a Jewish guy who is a federal judge named Marianne Failsher, who overturned Prop 187, which was approved by 59%+ of us in California in the 90s. Again, to try to stop what's going on in Connecticut, Florida, Texas, California, whatever. We were doing it for all of our people. Well, what is interesting about this Ford Foundation story is that my friend was telling me about this handing out of $800 to these illegals who were able to get up to the United States. And it's, you know, to corroborate this story, a friend somebody who was a supervisor at where I worked, a bus company supervisor, when I was telling him this story, he said he was down in Tijuana and he heard two Latino guys talking about they were coming to San Rafael. So, folks, this is how we get to where we are. We are being replaced as people. It's actually Eurocide. 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 The genocide of European peoples by replacing us with a different group of people. This is the Zionist way. Of course, that does not go on in Israel, does it? No. It's a whole different story there. But anyway, this story of massive immigration, which is changing the world. I live up here in northern Idaho. Most of the people for the last 9.5 years, according to a newspaper report, are from California. They're white refugees. They are refugees from California, which has become a third world state. The whites are leaving all of the time. So again, folks, this is a huge problem, and most of our people are paralyzed with fear, just like Dr. Krieg reported in his piece in the Nationalist Times, these people, these older people in their, you know, older people that Krieg talked about are paralyzed with fear about even talking about the problem. It's not just the older people. I'm 60. I just turned 68 years old. Excuse me. And, but it's the younger people as well. They're paralyzed with this PC run amok. They, and those on the right are not Tea Party patriots. The ones that, that are put before, television cameras and are looked at as being, the spokespeople for the Tea Party movement. No, these are not Tea Party patriots. These are TV party patriots. I like to refer to TV as Talmud vision because that's what it is. These disparaging comments, these programs like Archie Bunker, Al Bundy, that are created by Jewish producers whose objective is to denigrate European American people, especially European American men, but also the European American woman, the so-called blonde bimbo. Yeah, we know all about that. Now, have you ever heard of anybody talking about a, I mean, 50 years ago, did you hear anybody talk about the blonde bimbo? No, but these Jewish producers in Hollywood and in television, they know that these blonde-haired women are very, very attractive, even to their own men. But what a way to disparage the European-American heritage. What better way than to pick examples of European-American beauty and then to refer to them as bimbos? It is extremely interesting that we don't have media sock puppets that are black-haired women. How come we don't have black-haired bimbos talked about on TV? Why? Because it doesn't fit the Zionist Talmudic strategy, which is to get us fighting amongst ourselves. But again, this all comes back to who controls the media. And you're going to find on this program, you're going to find on other programs on this network of the Counter Currents Radio Network, that we're going to be talking about issues which reflect the interest of European peoples, indigenous European peoples. That's what I'm all about. Until my dying day, I will be talking about issues that are related to us as European peoples. Whether this happens in America, Russia, Australia, New Zealand, South America, you can count on me. And for those of you who are interested, you can contact me through eamerica123@roadrunner.com. And eventually all this information will be up on the Counter Currents website. And so I want you to provide me with stories that you think maybe I should cover. I think it's extremely important that folks that you know that you produce this program. I go over the internet and I follow stories that I think are relevant for me to talk about. And I get them from people like you. Those of you who are listening right now, I get my ideas from you. So just look at yourself as being a correspondent. There's no money in this, folks, but I'm retired and I have the energy to do this. So this is what I'm going to do, is to get this information out. And please send me good information about stories that you think are relevant. Also, sorry about my voice, folks. I've been on the phone this morning and talking to a correspondent. And I think it's very important that all of us do this, is to get new ideas, because who in the heck has all the answers? I don't know anybody that has all of the answers. But if we all work together and come up with these different stories, approaches, and whatever, we're going to win. I found out something interesting while I was surfing the net, and then somebody brought me brought to my attention and I'm sorry, I'm trying to find it here. It's called the World Wide News Service. And this network is the most professional website in terms of news production and presentation that I have found. Not taking anything away from the Countercurrent Radio Network, but this is something which had been started up in the last year, and I don't know who's behind it, but whoever it is, we should all take our hats off to this network. And what I did is I became a member of YouTube. I mean, I became a subscriber, and then I typed in Worldwide News Service, and then I became a subscriber to Worldwide News Service. Here are some of the stories that they covered, and it's about European peoples. And this one story is from Burnley, England, where an interviewer is talking to European Britons about the takeover of their community by Muslim gangs. It's an incredible piece. There's also an interview with Philip de Winter of the Vlaam Blok about what they're trying to do. There's also programs on how to use pasta, use salsa in your food, and to add to your recipes. There's also a story on what happened to Detroit, how to make a good hamburger, Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day. Also, there's a story about a South Carolina Catholic church that's being used as a Mexican government office. It also talks about this media center in South Carolina where they're trying to create this worldwide news service facility. There's also an interview with Merlin Miller, two interviews with him. There's an interview about documentary on these corporate farms in the European Union. There's a story about the Syrian revolution, a story about gas fracking. There's an interview with a gentleman, with Nick Griffin in Wales. And there's also an interview with Nick Griffin on the economy in Great Britain. So anyway, that's a good resource, folks. And as far as I'm concerned, we all need to work together to create media which reflects our interests, but also doesn't scare away the newbies. Well, I have a 4 more minutes in this segment. But anyway, I just want to keep going here and want to talk about my experience in Marin County with illegal aliens and PC run amok. There was a guy on the Human Rights Commission of Marin County, a long-haired, I guess you would call him a long-haired blonde hippie, who was all for the illegals. And one day I was driving my car through Marin County, and here he was with a whole carload of obviously illegals. And you know, sometimes I've had establishment types to ask me, well, how do you know that these people were illegal? Well, playing on a response that a friend of mine has used all the time, which is, oh, that's because I'm a mind reader. Well, you know, folks, you've got every once in a while, you've got to be hip, slick, and cool, because you know the kind of stock things they'll throw at you about, how do you know they're illegal? And if we don't act just as hip, slick, and cool and confident about what we say like the other side does, we lose. And I don't want to see us lose anymore. I want to see us get an increase in consciousness based upon what is happening to our people. But to say it in a responsible way, some of you who knew me on the other network that I was on previously know that I have been on the left and the right. And I know the way the left works. I know the way the right works. And when I was over in England to meet some activists in 2000, I was trying to explain to this guy who was he's a good guy, but he was trying to keep a job and do his politics too. So I told him, I said, look, I'm not a right winger or a left winger. I'm a white winger. And actually what it was I said, look, to this guy, I'm not a right winger or a left winger. And he's the one that raised an eyebrow a la David Niven and said, ah, a white winger. So that's what I tell people. I say, what are you? I'm a white winger, or I'm a Eurocentric. Yes, indeed. I am a white winger. I am Eurocentric. I'm for my people. And that, there's nothing wrong with that. So anyway, that was, I wanted to mention this story of identity, what my identity is, what my sense of self is. And like I said, I was active in the anti-illegal alien movement, in Marin County. Marin County has areas now that are taken over by illegals. You see areas, let me back up here. The canal area, which I mentioned before, which is where a lot of working class, middle class, white folks lived until these, so-called do-gooders had done their job and got all these, illegals to come up for $800 a piece, you know. And then the other thing is they had their activists in place to make sure that the police laid off of them by yelling racial harassment, just like is going on in Connecticut, and talk about racial profiling. But you know, folks, the more I look at it, the more I say to myself, because I talk to a lot of people, a lot of us agree now, we are the people who are racially profiled. It's Yuri, it's European indigenous peoples that are being profiled. This government has pushed us out of any consideration of group respect. And that's what is happening now, as we all know, is that this is a nation of groups. The country looks at people as groups. Of course, that's by design because of the immigration bill that Teddy Kennedy pushed through. And when Kennedy was on the floor in the 60s, before this bill was approved to change the immigration laws of the U.S., he said this would not upset the immigration balance of the United, I mean, the ethnic balance of the U.S. Wrong. Another liar. Teddy Kennedy, the big, fat, white guy in Congress who lied to us. But of course, we get lied by Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, a lot of people. And that's That's why I know that, as a friend of mine in Georgia says, let the bad times roll, baby. Yes, as things get bad, we can continue to get an advantage with our people in terms of their listening to us. But it's very important for me to try to reach out to people to make sure that we don't scare people off, that we use the same arguments that the other side uses in terms of group rights. And yes, we need a European American Heritage Month. Of course we do. I was the author of that in California in the 90s. It passed the legislature. But was it implemented all over California like Latino Heritage Month or Jewish Heritage Month? No. Black Heritage Month? No. Because we are racially profiled as European peoples. But there are approximately 6 school districts in the San Francisco Bay Area, the San Francisco area or Bay Area, however you want to say that, including the Stockton School District, that recognizes European American Heritage Month and celebrates it in October, which is a start. But see, folks, we need to do things, in my opinion, that will give us a big tent, to give us the ability to talk to people of different persuasions, to talk about our diversity. The other side keeps talking about that we need more diversity. European peoples are very diverse. As a friend of mine pointed out today, there are 100 flags in Europe. We are Irish, Russian, German, Spanish, Portuguese, Greek, Czechs, Bosnians. We are very diverse people. We have all the hair color in the world, all of the eye color of the world, different shades of white. Yes, we are diverse people. What is beautiful about what has happened in Marin County and in Connecticut, in that area called Kent, Connecticut, is that the people that have been affected by this immigration invasion, and of course that's what it is, whether we're Northerners, Southerners, Easterners, Westerners, we've been pushed out of our communities. And as a result, we now are getting to know each other as refugees and as white folks. There is a book that was written, I think it was in the 90s. I've got it up on my shelf here. I'm looking at it. It's called A Colony of the World, The United States Today. Written by guess who? Eugene McCarthy. Remember Clean Gene McCarthy? I do, because I'm 68 years old. He wanted to bring an end to the Vietnam War, just like I did, but not through aggression. But anyway, that book has never been publicized. Why? Because it doesn't fit the profile. Immigration is supposed to be the great thing for this country. We know how it's destroying America. We know how even blacks from Southern California have fled to the South because Latinos have pushed them out. Let me stop for a minute. That's the second segment. Okay. That was the end of the second segment, and now I want to start the third segment here, and let me talk about Black Flight. Yes, indeed, folks, we have black flight. We have these Southern California blacks who are going back south. Why? Because Latinos do not have brown guilt. And Latinos are out reproducing the blacks. And furthermore, they are healthier than the blacks because they're not as crack addicted as the black community, the ghetto black community. So, and there are also many in La Raza community are involved with the drug cartels. These guys don't play. They do not have any qualms about running blacks out of their community. There was a black guy who used to have a show in Southern California. I met him. He was the product of a black army soldier and a German woman. Anyway, this guy used to have a show and talked about how black families were being run out of South Central LA by La Raza. Now, of course, the media doesn't want to publicize that as racism, as La Raza-ism. Of course, we know La Raza means race. But it's okay for there to be a National Council of La Raza. Just like that fool Senator John McCain, who was honored by the National Council of La Raza. Can you imagine a presidential candidate, a presidential nominee for the Republicans being honored by the National Council of the race from a white perspective? No. Again, we have this hypocrisy on race. But anyway, a friend of mine who's in the Council of Conservative Citizens in Arkansas, he was talking to a black acquaintance one day, and this black acquaintance was telling him about these Latinos are moving in and they're pushing the black people out. And my friend had a big grin on his face and he said, you know what that is, don't you? He said, that's black flight. So folks, how cool is it for us to use PC words against them? Isn't it cool to use their words against them? But anyway, That's a story that a couple stories that I think those of you who will appreciate. I also want to mention something else. Another story from San Francisco. Just this week, and I don't follow the news, but a friend of mine was telling me that there was a big to-do about a 787 aircraft that had a shuttle, a space shuttle that was attached to the roof of this 787, and it was going across over the Golden Gate Bridge, and there was people congregating down in the Golden Gate National Recreation Area below the Golden Gate Bridge watching all this. And this 787 was eventually going to fly down to Moffett Air Force Base down in Santa Clara County and be decommissioned. Well, my friend went out there and she said it was just about all women, all white women, and some children, and there was one Latina who obviously was a nanny for some white gal. And so these kids were down there with this Latina nanny. And my friend said that all of a sudden one of the women, the white women there down at what used to be called Chrissy Field in the Golden Gate National Recreation Area. I don't know if it's still called Chrissy Field. But anyway, this woman started breaking down into tears and couldn't even verbalize why she was crying. And then some other white women there started crying. So what? And then this Latina woman, she was just out there for the sun and to take this white woman's two kids on a walk. But again, the reason that the Latina did not cry, she has no connection to that space shuttle or to 787s. It's white folks that designed those planes. It's white folks that designed NASA, that were the engineers, that did all of this to send space shuttles into the atmosphere, into space. Just like it was white people that sent the Sputnik up into outer space. Again, these other peoples, they don't appreciate it like we do as whites, because we're the ones that did it. That's the beauty of white culture, and we should be proud of this. But for those white women not to have an idea why they were crying is very important, because I'm sure that a lot of things like mental illness, alcoholism, depression, drug abuse, eating too much, obesity, is caused by people trying to get a fix using food or drugs or work or obsession with sports or following the idiocy of these what I refer to as the Manhattan Borough networks, NBC, ABC, and all the rest of the garbage. Okay. These women didn't understand, and Americans don't understand. Why are we so upset? Well, yes, there is a terrorist program going on, and the terrorist program, in my humble opinion, is coming from the networks, is coming from the educational institutions. A friend of mine interviewed an Israeli recently who was honest enough to talk about the four-legged monster, which he referred to as media, government, education, and judicial. And that the media drives pop culture. And I had to remind my friend who did this interview with this Israeli in New York City that behind us is money. You don't have the Bolshevik Revolution. You don't have World War I, World War II. You don't have the Civil War. You don't have any wars unless you have banksters that are international banksters who are providing the seed money to buy the arms, to buy the politicians, and to allow one group of people of different races or different ethnicities or tribes kill each other, all in the name of their profits, and also to create a confused electorate, a confused people, no matter who they are around the world. And of course, we've got the criminal Federal Reserve System, who are like, they're out there counterfeiting money, you know, printing money. You cannot have a distorted economy without somebody printing money that's not based on anything other than, oh, we trust you. What happens when they stop trusting us? You think they're going to invest in our wars? No, we'll just become a third world hellhole unless we stop this by educating our people. We don't need militias in this country. Yes, I believe in the Second Amendment. We need musicians. We need artists. We need educators. But not to over-intellectualize, not to create a system or a culture orientation of the paralysis of analysis. These problems are not difficult to understand. It's all about playing off interest groups. And just like there's a black, what do you call it? The, I'll think of it in a minute. But you have a group for blacks in Congress. You have a group for Latinos, caucuses. You have a Jewish caucus. I understand that even some Republican neocons have a caucus for the country of India. Amazing. Amazing. But where is the European American caucus? It's not there. That's what I want to work on, is to get this idea of reciprocity. If they have that, what about us? Where is our group of people, elected officials, that speak for us as European American people? It's not about getting a piece of the pie. It's getting our fair share of a piece of the piece of the bagel. Our fair share of that bagel. Okay? That's where it's at. It isn't about pie. It's about bagels. Pies do not run the United States. European Christian people do not run this country. They are willing accomplices. Yes, our people have sold us out, our elites, whether they're academic, whether they're business, whether they're government, whether they're judges, they have friggin' sold us out. That's very obvious. So what we need is creativity. We need creativities from this network. We need all of us to work together to become correspondents, to exchange information so that we can make our case to our own people, not to others, because they don't care one way or another. Other ethnicities, they don't care what happens to white folks, but we as white folks should darn sure care about our own people. Okay. Now, I'm going to talk about something else which I just came across recently. I'm retired, like I mentioned, and I have a lot of time on my hands. So I had bought the first book of the Secret Relationships between Blacks and Jews. This was volume one. And I saw that the Nation of Islam had come out with another one called The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, Volume 2. So I bought it. Incredible book, folks. For those of you who either live in the South or have grown up in the South, for those of you who have no connection to the South, the Nation of Islam, through doing their research, and then also by using Jewish sources as their references, have talked about the fact that when the Civil War was over, that Russian Jewish merchants came by way of New York City, and obviously funded by Jewish organization, businesses, on and on and on, sent them into the South and set up these businesses where they would loan money to black sharecroppers, white sharecroppers, small farmers, and make sure that they loaned them money that they could not pay back. And then what happened? These guys eventually, these predominantly Russian Jewish, quote unquote, immigrants, quote unquote, business people would start taking over farms. Also, these merchants would sell goods to black sharecroppers, white sharecroppers, again, black and white owners of farms, farmers, and at exorbitant rates. They would sell them this stuff and then encourage them to buy more so they'd go into debt. So, as a result of this, these Russian Jewish immigrants became very, very strong in the South. Because as we well know, folks, money talks and BS walks. And in this book, The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, which you can buy through the Nation of Islam, they had a list of all the Jewish bankers in the South with their location. They had a map, and they showed this thing, and it was amazing. I had no idea there were so many Jewish bankers in the South. Well, They all moved in after the catastrophe of the Civil War. And so it is huge to know, and this is an added emphasis in this program today, is that many of the Klan were very, very friendly. The leaders of the Klan were very, very friendly with these Jewish merchants. And many in the Christian churches the South would welcome Jews to their churches as people of the Bible. These same Jewish guys would play this up, even though they had no connection with Christianity at all, but they wanted to be in good graces with their quote-unquote customers. What also is interesting, as I found, is that some of these Klan leaders who were friends with these Jewish guys would also be members of the Masonic lodges. So you had a coalition, and you had a coming together, congruence of Klan and Jewish bankers. And what I understood from this book and reading the sources, that there was no outbreaks of anti-Semitism into the South until the Civil Rights Movement. But before then, even Adolf Ox, who became the first Jewish publisher of the New York Times, would run stories that were very sympathetic to the whites in the South, because he had been a merchant and lived in the South. And so they were playing that strategy. The Jewish people were playing that strategy at that time. But as Jews got more and more powerful, then they didn't need the white support. And then they started becoming involved with the Black Civil Rights Movement. But anyway, I wanted to bring out the fact that this book is out there and it's very important. I'm looking at the clock here. I'm just about ready to end this program. In fact, this is the end of the program. I enjoyed it, folks. Thank you very much, and stay tuned for next week, and I'll bring you another edition of Your Hour.